Maybe my home's on the road. The road's the only place I feel at home. I don't know if I'm ever gonna get back again this way. The road's the only place I feel at home. Feel at home.
Hello and welcome to the My Home is on the Road show. My name is Dave Manning. This is the show with music and stories from the road. I make my living traveling in a 1965 Volkswagen microbus playing music in bars and casinos and anywhere that'll pay the bills. And this is the second show of a number of shows I'm going to do about the 2009 Rainbow Gathering, which took place in Northwest New Mexico on and around July 4th this year and the week preceding that, the week after that. Let me just start by saying that someone at the gathering told me that the Rainbow family, as they call it, the Rainbow folks that go to the Rainbow Gathering, the FBI lists them as the largest terrorist organization in the country, because every year on the 4th of July, they gather in a national forest somewhere in our country and pray for peace. But they do it without having permits, and there's no central organization to a Rainbow Gathering. Everything's done by consensus. People just gather. People just show up. And a lot of the same people show up. But there is no organization. And the main idea of a Rainbow Gathering is that thousands of people just gather in the woods on July 4th and the week preceding and some days after. And on July 4th, they pray for peace. And the central... the pivotal day, of course, is actually July 4th, and from dawn until noon on July 4th, everyone at the gathering maintains a vow of silence, at least everyone that's in around the main part of the gathering, you know. But that's a time that people can pray in their own ways for peace and meditate for peace, and then around noon is... when the place just erupts and everyone cheers and just drums and cheers and sings and dances for hours and hours on end. And some ground rules, there's pretty much very little, if none, no money exchanged. Most everything's done by giving stuff or trading stuff or bartering for things. And also alcohol isn't really allowed, surprisingly. But the reason it's not is because it causes so much trouble. And really the point of the gathering is to gather for peace. And so they have a place that they call A Camp. And A Camp usually is somewhere kind of out where people are parking cars and stuff, where yes, you are allowed to drink out there if you want to drink out there and party it up out there. So in a nutshell, that's the Rainbow Gathering. Thousands of people gathering in one of our national forests to spend a week meditating and praying for peace. And of course, all the calamity and magic that goes along with that sort of event. And in the background, you're hearing some sitar music I recorded one evening around a campfire at the gathering. This week we pick up the story at around dawn on July 4th, and if you recall, on July 4th everyone maintains a vow of silence from dawn until noon. And keep in mind that my bus was parked about 10 miles away from the gathering, because that was the closest that available parking at the time. And I hitchhiked in, thinking I was just going to go in for Friday during the day and come back out. But I wound up staying at the gathering all night long. And luckily I had a backpack full of good stuff to keep me going, food, water, and everything like that. And an umbrella, which sure came in handy, both to keep the sun off and the rain. And it was a night full of drum circles, didgeridoo players, fire dancers, and, of course, glow-in-the-dark soccer that you heard about in the last show. And in the last show, we played some tape from inside the drug-free teepee. I'm going to play a little bit of that clip again, because it does a great job explaining what the drug-free teepee is. But keep in mind that this is a real teepee with a fire in the middle, and there's a Native American guy who's solemnly presiding over the whole affair. And when this clip was made... the teepee was really packed. There was no way to be in this teepee and not be rubbing up against, either rubbing shoulders with the person next to you or your knees rubbing together as you sat on the ground.
Okay, so I think I figured out how the...
Okay, time to go.
I think I figured out how the
the drug-free teepee works. There's people sitting three deep all around the fire, kind of really packed in. And as people kind of leave from the one side, people come in and sit. And so you slowly rotate around the circle, and the guys that are running the circle sit opposite the door. And so as people come in, they sit down on their left as they come in, and they work their way around. And eventually, after maybe half an hour or an hour, you're around where the guy that runs it is, and that's where all the pot is. So you get really stoned over there. And then it probably takes another hour to work yourself back out of the tent. So you'll be ready to go by then.
And finally, after a long night of campfires and coffee and drum circles, the sky began to get light. Let's go back to tape now.
Okay, it's near dawn, and I'm in the middle of the meadow. And at the drum circle in the distance, they were telling them maybe they should start to bring it on down to quiet, because there's looking to be a little blue in the sky, and it looks like there's a planet above the horizon. The meadow is rimmed with tall pine trees all around it. Big open space, as big as maybe 4 or 5 football fields put together. And there's a planet, probably Venus. It's risen, or is setting probably. Or I guess it's probably just risen. The sun's going to be right after it. And soon everyone will be quiet until noon. It'll be July 4th. It'll be a time to meditate and pray for peace until noon.
I went back into the drug-free teepee. Now there's only about 10 people in there. The talk was quiet. You'll hear the fire popping loudly in this next recording. But if you listen carefully, people hear some of the folks talking about family overseas, fighting
safe
for our country.
Uh-huh. Yeah, just their safety in general. Mm-hmm. Those people, those veterans that are still fighting for this country.
Yeah.
Like my two little brothers are out there in Iraq right now.
Standing up for our cause.
Fighting for us.
Yeah, I gotta.
For us to make a change.
Support the troops. We see here right now at this very moment.
Soon, the teepee fell silent. And from in there, you couldn't really tell it was dawn. It was still dark inside the teepee, except when someone would enter or exit through the door, and the light would come in. It felt good to sit there, to just rest after a long night. But eventually, I went out the small round door covered in buffalo hide, out into the light. You'll hear my necklaces rattling as I made the following recording, walking, quietly talking into the recorder while everyone's maintaining a vow of silence. I felt like it was okay for me to speak into the recorder because I wasn't speaking to someone else, and I think the central idea of being silent like that is to let your thoughts come out, and it would have been better if I wrote things down in a piece of paper as far as the vow of silence, but of course, to put together the radio show, I think it was worth it for me to quietly whisper into the recorder.
Okay, I just emerged from the teepee where the peace pipe was being passed around, and with the native presiding over the whole rather regimented affair. And the sun's up, you can't quite see it, but the light from the sun is angling down, streaming across the whole meadow, and there's campfire smoke drifting across the meadow, and all these, hippies, kind of stumbling around like zombies. And there's a man over there taking pictures, and then there's a woman who's stretching and feeling the sun's first rays on her skin. There are tents all in the periphery of the meadow, and there's even some tents in the middle, and people in sleeping bags all over the meadow. And the fires from the camps are still all burning. There's people standing around just watching the scene, and everything really is quiet. You can hear a couple murmurs here and there of some people talking, but really, it's just quiet. Except for the birds.
And this is only just the sun just coming up. As quiet as to be maintained until noon, hours more. What is it going to be like? I'm kind of scared in a way. Like, what kind of things will come through my head? Silent, everyone silent. There's a man walking a dog, and another man kneeling and prostrate towards the sun, the rising sun. People doing yoga over by that fire. There's a man in a what looks like a hefty sport coat and a bowler hat with long, really stringy blonde hair. Looks like someone right out of the 1800s. He's standing almost motionless in the middle of the meadow.
I slowly walked around the meadow in the forest that morning. The meadow was about a half a mile long and maybe about a quarter mile wide, kind of a strange oblong oval shape, perhaps. And the hills sloped up on all sides of the meadow, almost like it was a bowl. And the trees, of course, started as the hills started to go up, so there's trees all around this meadow.
Okay, I didn't want to make a note because I really wanted to take a photograph here, because the way the sunlight is now filtering through the smoke and still filtering through the trees, there's just pools of light in some places, this brilliant yellow golden sunlight in some places, and in some places are still in shadow, and the contrast and the angle of the light and just lighting up the smoke like cigarette smoke gets lit up by the projector beam in a theater. And I have to tell you, when I was in the teepee, what I wanted to say to them, but we needed to maintain the vow of silence, which we did, even through fits of laughter, where we all were laughing at the same thing, but no one had to say what it was. We all just kind of knew. But I really wanted to say to the guys for a while, it was all just men in there, and say, brothers, there are people in this world right now that are suffering. There are men waiting in foxholes with guns, wondering if they're going to die tonight, tomorrow. There are people in prisons. There are people being tortured. And yet we're here having this wonderful time. But we should not feel guilty for that, because the people that are in the foxholes and in the prisons and being tortured, they would want to know that somewhere there's a place like this. Somewhere there's something worth living for.
I kept wandering around the woods that morning. I saw lots of things. I saw three guys sitting around a campfire, and they were alone, and of course it was quiet, except for their laughter. I heard their laughter coming through the woods long before I saw them. And when I got up close enough to where I could see them, no one was talking. They were just laughing. And sometimes they all look in the same direction. Sometimes one of them would even point seemingly at a nothing in the sky. And they would all just, as if they saw just the same thing, they would all just start laughing again and keep laughing. And nearby there was the beginning of a guided meditation that someone had set up in the woods, where you could follow these colored ribbons through the woods, and every 100 feet or so you'd get to a different little station where there'd be a note. One of them, it said to write down a truth and put it in this coffee can full of little pieces of paper that others had written on, and other places had a thing where you could paint a little bit, and had maybe just some quotes for you to read and think about.
So many people out meditating and praying, facing into the sun now. Sun's getting higher, still skimming through the trees. The meadow is almost half sunlit and half in shadow now. And there are people praying around the very center pole, the center with all the rings around it going outwards, where I believe people will gather later at noon. And it's so surreal, like some sort of lost scene from a obscure French film, and the meadow looks almost very much like some of the places in Gettysburg, the trees around the open battlefield. And it's so surreal to walk around a campfire and look right at people and be close to them and acknowledge them, but nobody says anything. It's as if everyone's mourning something lost, like the way relatives would sit around saying nothing after finding out that another close relative had passed away. And maybe they are mourning something. They're mourning all the people in this world that can't gather in peace like this. They're mourning all the people who don't know if they're going to make it through the day, who don't know why they're imprisoned. They're mourning for all the people that are full of hate and are driven to violence. That's who they're mourning. That's what we all want to change. After I finished eating my New England clam chowder, I headed back over to the drug-free teepee, and people were assembled outside the teepee because it was kind of hot inside the teepee at that point. And so I sat down, and once again, no one was speaking. We all would just kind of look at each other and understand and be lost in our own thoughts and enjoyed the smoke that was going around. And at one point, a man came around and was giving people little drops on their tongue out of an eyedropper, and he gave me several of those. As it became pretty late in the morning, I don't know exactly what time, I found a tree about 100 yards away from the central pole in the middle of the meadow. And I decided I'd kind of just stay next to this tree and just sit there and watch what happened and make some recordings. And what had been a handful of people praying and meditating throughout the morning had now turned into hundreds. Hundreds of people circled around that central pole. And soon they held hands. And I watched them, and they were silent together. I looked up, and now I could see the clouds. They were moving, and sometimes we all can see shapes in the clouds, but now I was beginning to see the shapes move. I remember seeing like a dragon's head in the cloud, and you could actually just see it moving as if it was really, truly alive. And as some people walked by, it was as if they were followed by a little flock of fireflies, which is these little points of light which just follow some people as they walked by. And I'd feel like I could see right into people's souls. I remember seeing a trashy couple, for lack of a better word, walk by, and you could just tell that their relationship had degraded to such where they were just sucking each other's energy and just withering each other, like from the inside out, like a car often rusts from the inside to the outside, and you don't realize you don't see it outwardly until the rust hole is already all the way through the metal. You know, I could just sense that that's what this couple had let their relationship degrade down into. But more so, I saw lots of just peaceful, loving, happy people going by, people holding hands, people. It's hard to describe, but you could just tell that they were just full of love and full of life and enjoying such a perfect day in silence. And as I sat there by the tree, at one point this whole group of law enforcement officers went by, and they were fully dressed in their uniforms with their bulletproof vests on and their guns. They certainly weren't in riot gear by any means, but they definitely had the bulletproof vests on and of course were, you know, fully armed and ready for everything. And what was interesting was that, well, two things. One, that they were from all different denominations of law enforcement, or whatever they call them. There's people that had county sheriff patches on their arms, and people that had the Cuba, New Mexico, that was the nearest town to the gathering, so it was police from Cuba, and there's also state patrol, and maybe a few others I don't remember, but I remember this group, and they stayed very close, very tight together, this probably about 30 guys, and they walked within a few feet of me as I sat under the tree, and I remember just thinking, wow, they don't know it. I'm just kind of just sitting here trying to be cool, but they don't know it. But I don't know if I could even stand up at this point. And they walked by. But what I remembered was especially just seeing some of the faces of some of the officers just being wide-eyed, like they had lived their whole lives and never seen anything like this. Now, faintly in this recording, you'll hear the sound of Om. A few others sat with me under the tree, my wise tree, and their voices chime in occasionally, but mostly you can hear that in the distance if you listen carefully. In the background of this recording, you hear people starting in that big circle of hundreds of people starting to Om, and it got louder and louder. Someone told me once that at one point NASA, with some sort of sophisticated technological advice, actually made a recording of what the universe actually sounds like. And what it sounds like is Om. And what usually happens, from what I understand, at Rainbow Gathering is people will gather in a circle and they will Om. And then there'll be a kind of a parade of kids from the far end of the meadow that they call kids camp, where people with kids and parents and hang out, and they've got, you know, things to make that whole process easier. But anyway, the kids will form into a parade and come out into the meadow with flags and everything, and that's when everyone will start cheering. But this year, in the mountains of New Mexico, very often in the afternoon, there's thunderstorms that rolled in. Well, right on time, right around noon, thunderstorms started rolling in to the meadow. And I didn't know what time it was then, but it started raining and raining a little bit, and people would stay in the circle oming, and it started raining harder and harder and harder and harder till it was just an absolute downpour. And then finally, most of the people scattered out of the circle and found shelter, and the underneath my tree got a whole lot more crowded for a while. And then after 15 minutes or so, the rain started letting up and people returned back out into the circle. And at one point, a girl named Emily sat down and I shared my umbrella with her. We sat there and watching people going by in the rain. And as the rain let up, we saw people kind of streaming back out into the meadow and forming the circle again. And there was one guy who had long, dreadlocked hair, and he had very earth-colored clothes on, very kind of rustic clothes, and corduroy pants that went down and dragged on the ground. They were brown corduroy pants that went down and dragged on the ground. And he had a long, dreadlocked beard. And I remember turning to Emily and saying, "That guy is a tree." Remember what I was saying? I could see people's souls. And he was a tree. There's no other words for it. And happily, I don't know where Emily is now, but she completely agreed that this guy was a tree. And I saw him occasionally throughout the rest of the morning and afternoon, as you'll hear. And finally, what you'll hear in this next recording, finally hear the Om breaking. This is the moment. This is when the vow of silence ends. This is when this massive hundreds of people just oming and holding hands together, circling around this pole, just connecting to the earth, when it finally just breaks. State basketball championship, after a few minutes, the cheer dies down. But here, this is a cheer for the earth. It didn't die down. It just kept going and going and going. Now we're going to go to a few clips from that I actually recorded when I stood up and walked into the circle. And, you know, after several minutes, or maybe half an hour, maybe even an hour, like drums started getting added to the circle, and people were drumming, and at this point the circle became more of a spiral. And as I stood there watching, the most amazing thing, the energy, it was like the energy of all these people spiraled, like just like a Milky Way galaxy, just spiraled in, spiraled in, spiraled in. And it all came down to one man's hand. And that hand was outstretched and placed on the chest of another man who's probably in his 50s. And we'll never know what his story was. You know, whether perhaps he was sick with something. Maybe he was dying of cancer. Maybe he had a friend that had just died or something. And then whatever was going on in his life, all of this energy of this whole thing was going spiraling into him, right into his heart. And the look on his face was just one of utter shock, but joy, but just utter shock. It was like a scene in a movie where a sorcerer just like uses his hand to just like throw lightning bolts. So there was no lightning, but the hand was on his chest, and it was just as if he was just being shocked with electricity, but in a very, very joyful way. Then there was the muddy people, because as the cheering and the drumming was continuing, it would begin to rain again for a few minutes, and then it would stop, and then the rain would start again for a few minutes, and there wound up being all this muddy area kind of in the middle of where the circle was. It was all just mud, and people began just wrestling in this mud, and soon there was just, there must have been at least 30 or 40 like just naked people just wrestling in this mud. And I'm not just like, oh, we're just playing in the mud having a good time, like really just, and not wrestling like they're trying to hurt each other certainly, but just rolling and swarming and just oozing in this mud, like in their hair, every inch of their body was just coated in this mud. And I remember thinking that at this point there is no division where the earth ends and the people begin. They have become one. It was as if maybe this once a year, like the humanity on this planet just plugs itself back into the earth and reconnects with where it came from, like taking a dusty light bulb and plugging into a wall socket, like just turning it in, and it lights up. And the way that it lights up is a rainbow.
I still hear them singing. But here's what I realized earlier. A fellow came by and he was the tree. It was hard to tell him that he was not wisdom and not the tree. And he came back and he was still the tree. And then he left and I can't see where he went. But the tree, as he went around the corner, he kind of put some of the responsibility on me to be the tree now. Like, I gotta protect all them. I'm part of the father thing now. Alright, so one last report from underneath the tree where I learned to become like the tree and be strong. Darkness is gathering now over the meadow. I was told that there's always a rainbow that forms at the rainbow gatherings, and indeed there was, I'm sorry to say, the most brilliant set of rainbows I've ever seen in my life. Absolutely just electric how they lit up the sky. And the rain coming down, and the sun going through, and everyone dancing, and the drums throbbing. Definitely a life-changing day.
And that was my experience at the 2009 Rainbow Gathering on July 4th. We've got two more shows coming up about the Rainbow Gathering. Safe travels, and have yourself a fantastic day.
Where my home's on the road, it's a
Rosie, you'll make place up.